the book of Psalms tonight, chapter 77. I got a message in the book of Habakkuk that might have been appropriate tonight. I had it for probably a couple of years, and I had never used it. I've titled it, When God Don't Do What You Want Him To. But maybe this will be a blessing to somebody and be a help to us. I trust that it will. This is what the Lord's laid upon my heart for tonight. In Psalms chapter 77, the Bible says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. Ain't you glad He hears you when you pray? Then He says this, In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart. My spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? And I said, This is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember Thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all Thy work and talk of Thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God is our God. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You, God, for the day You blessed us with, Lord. I thank You, God, for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that's come this way tonight, Lord. And I pray You'd help us tonight, God, out of the Word. And God, I need You help me. Lord, I need You to touch me tonight, God. I need Your strength, God. I need Your words, Lord. Would You, God, move upon me tonight, God, and move upon our hearts tonight, God, that we'd be drawn close to You tonight, Lord. God bless our church and our people tonight, God. We have some that's sick and hurting, Lord. God, many mentioned in the prayer room, Lord, needs heaven's help tonight, Father. God, we trust You, Lord, with everything, Lord. We give You glory and we give You praise. For it's in Jesus' name we ask You blessings. Amen and amen. I'm interested in verse number 10. He says, And this is my infirmity. Or he was saying, This is my weakness. Now I want to preach on this thought tonight, dealing with doubt. Dealing with doubt. This is a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was a musician. He was a Levite. There are 12 psalms that are attributed to Asaph. He was appointed at one time by King David to, when they were bringing the ark back from the Philistines back to Jerusalem, and he was appointed as one of the musicians there. Brother Tim, he was a choir man. And these psalms, as we look at them, they were to be sung or they were even put to music at times. But I find this one very interesting right here. This was this man had a great position in his country there. He was a musician and appointed by the king, but I would think, you know, he'd been a godly man and been really firm in his faith. But, you know, I noticed something about him. He had troubles to come upon him, and there was something weighing heavy upon him, and it brought doubt in his life. Have you ever doubted God in your life? Has any circumstance ever came upon you to where you could have been like this man right here? And he basically was saying, well, where's God at now? I need Him now. Well, where's He at? Why has he not heard me? But he says in the first verse right there that he gave ear to me. But then he goes on and he begins to describe the circumstances or the troubles that he had. In some of the commentaries that I read, the Bible said that, this story in the Bible right here, they say that this man was probably in the Babylonian captivity, where the country had been destroyed, had been overrun, had been taken captive by the Babylonians. And this might have been the trouble that he was having at that time. But, you know, at different times in our life, there's going to be troubles. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. The Bible tells us that. But how are we going to handle our troubles? How are we going to deal with troubles when they come our way and they're coming? I think there's something we can learn from this man right here, Asaph. First of all, I want us to look at Asaph's captivity. He was captivated by his trouble. It was more than he could bear. It was more than he could handle. He came to a place right here. He said, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. He did right. You know, a lot of times we'll seek the Lord in our troubles, and that's what we ought to do. But oftentimes when we seek Him and He doesn't give us an answer just like that, we give up on God. And the devil uses that upon us to drag us further and further away from God, and he gets in our mind and destroys our faith. That's the way he works. He said that in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. Notice his solitude. In these first six verses right here, some 20 times he uses the word I, me, mine, solitude. You know, troubles will isolate you. Troubles will make you feel so alone. You feel like there's nobody else that's feeling what you're experiencing. And the devil will use that on you. That nobody cares. Nobody has got it as bad as you. Troubles. Solitude that it brings. And Asaph was saying, I, me. And where's the Lord at now? He felt all alone. Not only the solitude, but he mentions sleeplessness. Anything ever got into bed with you that kept you awake at night? I'd venture to say everybody in the house has probably had something at some time or another to trouble them, and it gets in the bed with you, and you get it on your mind, and it begins to just keep you awake and trouble you. It seemed like more and more in the bed than anywhere else. Sleeplessness. He said, my soul ran in the night. In the night. And what he was saying is, yeah, I'm trying to sleep, but this thing is getting worse. Trouble. The sleeplessness in his soul. He said, there's no comfort in my soul. I'm troubled so deep, so deep. I'm troubled. I can't find comfort for my soul. But this was a man that had sang the praises of God. This is a man that had led the singing. This is a man that had written the songs and the psalms here. Let me tell you, you're not too big tonight as a Christian to where you can get in bad, bad shape when troubles come your way. But I want to learn from this man right here some things tonight. When that kind of trouble gets you, and when that kind of trouble gets me, what are we going to do? Who are we going to turn to? How are we going to handle our troubles when they come our way? His search. Notice right here in verses 5 and 6, he said, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. He began to look back. He said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Search. He was searching. for help in his troubles. He looked back at better times and he looked back when he could sing Blessed Assurance and Amazing Grace and the songs that he'd written, the things that he'd written about the good times. But the bad times was now upon him. Where are you going to turn when troubles come your way? What are you going to do? He was captive by trouble. But you ain't got to stay captive to your troubles. Listen as we go further. Asaph's crisis. This is what I want us to look at tonight. He has six questions here. Six questions. Six questions that a man of God or a child of God ought not to really be asking. First of all, notice this. He said, "Will the Lord cast off forever?" In other words, he was saying, "Has the Lord left me? Has the Lord deserted me? Am I stuck in my troubles and the Lord's gone clean from me?" You ever felt like that? I don't like troubles, do you? Troubles tend to make you think things, tend to make you question God. And it's all right to say why. But don't let it take you away from God. He's the only help, the only hope we have. He is our shield. He's our strength. He's our ever-present help in a time of trouble. Well, why does God let troubles come our way? You know, I can't tell you. You may be in some kind of a fix tonight, and I can't tell you why. But God has a reason for everything. Maybe it's to make you more aware of Him. Maybe it's to make you learn to lean on Him more. Maybe it's to make you pray more. I don't know. But if you'll look to Him, if you'll search for Him, He'll let you know. And in the end, you'll be able to look back and see the hand of God working in your life, and you can have a closer and a better relationship with Him. Asaph's crisis. He was in darkness. He was in despair. I think he was depressed. And now doubt has crept into his life. Doubt. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? What was he saying? He was saying, well, will God ever help me? Will God ever come to my rescue? You ever felt like God had deserted you? You ever felt like when you prayed that He wouldn't hear you? And you ask, well, God, will you ever be my help again? It's an awful condition to be in when doubt gets in your life. The devil will magnify doubt. He'll put questions in your mind to get you to doubt God. Next question. He said, is His mercy clean gone forever? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Where is the Lord's mercy now? I need You, Lord. Where's mercy at? Where is God's mercy in a time of trouble? You know, we put God on the spot, don't we? You know, most of the time when we pray, you know what we do when we pray most of the time? We're not asking God, we're telling God. We tell Him what we want done, when we want it done, how we want it done. And by the time we get up on our feet from the altar, if He hadn't done something, we want to throw the towel in. God's ways are far above our ways. His thoughts are far above our thoughts. And we're going to have to learn to trust Him. Trust Him in times of trouble and in times of crisis. Trust Him! He won't let you down. He said, where's the Lord's mercy? Listen, he said this too. Doth His promise fail forevermore? Wow. You know what he was saying? Is God's Word going to fail? You ever doubted God's Word? We was talking about the Lord coming again a while ago. You believe He's coming again? Are you living like He's coming again? Huh? Think about that. Next question. He says in verse 9, "Hath God forgotten to be gracious?" Where's the unmerited favor at, he says? Has grace forsaken me? Has God forgot about grace to send grace my way? God is full of grace. His grace, the Bible says, is sufficient for us all. Where would we be without grace? For by grace are you saved through faith. But here is a man of God that's saying, where's your grace at, God? Have you forgotten grace for me? Say, no favor for me, God. Then he says, "Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" You know what he was saying? I believe he was saying, I really don't know if God loves me. He'd come to the end of his rope. He had all these questions. Has the Lord deserted me? Will he ever help me? Where's the Lord's mercy at? Is God's Word going to fail me? Has the grace of God forgotten about me? Does God not love me anymore? You ever had any questions like that to come up in your heart and in your mind when troubles come your way? It's a progression of doubt slipping into your life, and it'll destroy you. It'll destroy you. Has the Lord deserted me? I want you to look with me at a few passages of Scripture right here. Now, you believe the Word of God? You believe the Word of God's true? Listen to what he says. In Hebrews 13, verse 5. This man asks, Has the Lord cast off forever? But he says in chapter 13 of Hebrews, verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Those are the true words of God. So listen to me. When troubles come your way, the devil tries to get you to doubt the Word of God. Tries to get you to wonder if the Lord has moved far, far away from you, that He won't hear you and can't hear you, friend. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He's as close as the skin on your body. He's that near to you. He's that near to you. And he said, "Will the Lord ever help me?" The Bible says to rest in the Lord and to wait patiently for Him. You hear what I just said? He said, "Doth His promises fail forevermore?" Listen, friend. Listen. We got to learn patience. Patience. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Listen, the Bible says, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning." We're going to go through times of weeping. We're going to go through times of trouble. Don't give up on God in those times. Listen to me. That's the time that we need Him the most. Don't doubt Him. He cares. He hears and He helps. But He wants us to lean on Him and trust Him. Where's the Lord's mercy? in Lamentations chapter 3. You're familiar with this. 3:22. The Bible says this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Hey, you know why you're alive tonight? You know why you're alive tonight? You know why you're not consumed tonight? You know why you're not up yonder in the funeral home tonight? Because of the Lord's mercies. He was merciful to you today. He was merciful to me today. There's a lot of folks that didn't make it through the day, but we did, didn't we? It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Listen, friend, it's not because we've been good. It's because of His mercy tonight that we are living and are breathing and in His house tonight. Psalms 23 verse 6 says, surely or truly goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Like what Brother Mays Jackson said one time in a message. Probably I heard this message 30 years ago on the radio. Brother Mays Jackson was preaching out of Psalms 23. He said, God's so good to me. He said, I can be a walking down the street. He said, if I make a sudden stop, old grace and old mercy just bumps all over me. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. There's mercy for us. It's of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And great is Thy faithfulness. Mercy is available. We can't get away from mercy. We can't get away from grace. Ain't that something? Ain't we got a good God? It's no wonder. It's no wonder in that last verse that I read over there, where He says, who is so great a God as our God? Ain't one. Is the Word of God going to fail me? Listen, friend. Man will let you down. I'll let you down. But this Bible right here, these words will stand. When this world is burnt to a cinder, friend, the Word of God will be standing. Isaiah said, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. You believe His Word? Read it. Eat it. Live it. Love it. Because it's where you're going to get your help. Right here in this Bible. In your times of trouble. God's given you something to lean on right here. He's given you a way to commune with Him. He's given you a way to look into His heart through the Word of God and be strengthened by it. He's given you something to trust in right here. This Word. It will not fail. It will not fail. He said, has the grace of God forgotten me? I want you to look in Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. Look what the Bible says here in verse 13. Sing, O heavens! Be joyful, O earth! Break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted. But Zion said, listen now, the Lord hath forgotten me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Then he goes on. He says, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hand, and thy walls are continually before me. Can you get a better promise than that? Listen, in your troubles, God's not going to forsake you. Grace is not going to leave you. There's grace sufficient for any trouble that comes our way. And it's coming. It's a coming. Things may be running smooth for you today, but the bottom could fall out tomorrow. And where are you going to land? Where are you going to land? And then he said, does God not love me anymore? I'm glad the Bible teaches me different. Ain't you glad that over in Jeremiah 31, I think it's verse number 3, he said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. You know what you can do in that verse right there? You can take that word thee and you can put your name right there. I've loved Lee Wisner with an everlasting love. You know there's people in hell today that's trampled over the love of God and went on and died and went to a devil's hell because they wouldn't accept His love? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved Tim Hall, Adam Mangrum, Gerald Aldridge. Hey, every one of you in here could put your name in that verse right there. God wrote it and gave it to you and He gave it to me. He loves us with an everlasting love. And listen, friend, there's nothing that we can ever do that He won't love us anymore. There's people that are cursing His name tonight. There's people that are shaking their fist in His face tonight and rejecting Him. But He still loves them. That's amazing to me. What a great God we've got. What a merciful God we've got. What a loving God we've got. We ought to love Him back. For all He's done for us, we ought to worship Him. We ought to praise Him. We ought to thank Him. On this side of heaven, we ought to thank Him every chance we get for all He's done for us. Because one of these days, thank God, we'll see Him face to face. We'll see those nail-scarred hands. I think every time the angels see them hands up there, they think, oh, what grace, what love. That He'd die for sinful men. I could understand if He came and He died for good people. But I can't understand for the life of me why He died for me. What love. Asaph's captivity, Asaph's crisis. His crisis, he fell into doubt. Asaph's conclusion, he said, I'm weak. I'm weak. His weakness turned to doubt. But I like this right here. Back in Psalm 77, verse number 10, after all these questions, he said, and I said, this is my infirmity. But, I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. You know what he's saying? He said, this trouble that got me so depressed, it's got me so down, it's got me so in the dark right now. He said, I'm weak and I'm doubting. He said, but I'm going to remember the years, the good years, the good things that God's done for me. Because listen, friend, He's never failed one of His children and He never will. I'll remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Listen, friend, I like that. Ain't it good that we can think in our mind when we get in trouble, we can look back at other troubles that God brought us through. Look at what he goes on and said. He said, I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I'll meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. You know what he was thinking? If he was in this Babylonian captivity, you know what he was doing? He said, I'm gonna think back how God brought us through the Red Sea, how he parted the waters, and how he defeated that Egyptian army right there. I think he was thinking about how the walls fell at Jericho, and God helped them win every battle that they came to there, and when they trusted in him, friend. And I believe he thought back on the things like when David went out into the valley and he slew the giant there with a slingshot. Oh, he went to thinking of all the victories that God had done, how the wonders of his great works that he'd done. Don't dwell on your troubles. What did he tell us over in the book of Philippians? Think on the good things. If you think on your bad things, friend, they'll take you further and further down. You got to work yourself out of your troubles. And Asaph's psalm right here is giving us some good instruction of how to get out of it. He said, the workings of the Lord and the wonders of His word, of the Lord. And listen, friend, he also said this, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. You know what that tells me, for you and me? When troubles come, you know what we need to do? We don't need to sit at the house and dwell on our troubles. We need this right here. We need the sanctuary. He said, Thy way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary. You're going to get any help, friend. You're going to have to get to the church house. You know why? We need fellowship one with another. We don't need this solitude that I talked about up here a while ago. We need to get in here and help one another. If somebody's going through troubles, I love it. I love it when people come down and pray with them. And we share one another's burdens. And we cast our burdens and our cares upon the Lord because He cares for us. You need the sanctuary. When troubles come your way, friend, listen. Don't fall out with God, friend. You better get to where He's at and get you some help. I know folks going through some troubles and trials right now, and they turn their back on God. I don't know who. Maybe they're blaming God. I don't know. That ain't the right attitude. It'll take you into deeper troubles. You turn your back on God. I'm fixing to close in just a minute now, but I want you to see something about this thing of the sanctuary in Psalms 20. Psalms 20. Look at this now. Psalms 20. Verse 1. The Bible says, The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Listen, he says, Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. You know what God will do for you? When you're in trouble and you get to the house of God, you need help and you want help and you trust in God for that help. He said, I'll send you some help at the sanctuary. You come expecting something. You come looking for something. You come needing something and you'll get something. Too often we come to the house of God, we don't want nothing but to just get out. We wonder why. Where God's at? Why ain't God ain't helping us? Ought to come to that one thing. We ain't got any troubles and everything's going well in our house. We ought to be shouting the roof off. Because something could come your way tomorrow and take the shout out of you. The sanctuary. There's more verses to go along with that, but I'm going to close. I want to back up now. Look at, I talked about Asaph's captivity. Trouble had him captivated. Asaph's crisis, he fell into doubt. He questioned God. Asaph's conclusion, he said, I'm weak. I'm weak. I'm a doubter. He said, but I'm just going to remember the good things. I'm going to remember the works and the wonders that God has performed that I know is real. I find it interesting now. Asaph's cry, and I'm closing. In verse number 1, he said, I cried unto God with my voice. Even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. He gave ear unto me. Asaph made that statement. And then he began to tell about his troubles. Then he began to tell about his doubts. Then he began to tell about the good things that God had done in the past. I cried unto the Lord, and He gave ear. He gave ear. I wonder if anybody here tonight need to cry out to Him. Stand up with us. Stand with us, please.